art, culture, politics, activism. Now, art in the pandemic age. Have you ever wondered why artists do what they do? What is their purpose? What are they trying to accomplish? I'm your host, Kyle Roman. Welcome to Artivism Now. Artivism, defined, is a portmanteau word combining art and activism. How is it that artists push the boundary of their medium? How do they move societies forward? How do they resolve issues in their neighborhoods, both local and worldwide? These questions are what we set out to answer by interviewing artists locally and the world over. We will get answers to those questions that artists put out there in the community. On the third installment of the Ascend Dance Murals series, we welcome muralist Elaine Chu, co-founder of Twin Walls Mural Company. All right, let's welcome Elaine Chu. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, wonderful. So you are definitely a huge part of the Ascend Dance Mural series going up on the Green Lining Institute in Oakland. But let's get into your own history a little bit, if you don't mind, as a muralist. When did you know you were going to be a muralist?
Well, when I was 14, I started interning at Proceda Eyes. And, you know, I had seen maybe a handful of murals. Even though I grew up in San Francisco, the neighborhood I grew up in wasn't, you know, just, we didn't have a lot of murals until I went to the Mission and, you know, so started interning at Proceda Eyes and was just blown away that, you know, this was possible, and you could actually make a career out of it. But I didn't really take it seriously until around 27, when I was like, okay, I came back to San Francisco after being on the East Coast for 10 years and didn't know what I wanted to do. I was kind of lost. And went back to Proceda Eyes and asked Susan, like, hey, I'm back. I can, you know, volunteer, chip in on some projects. And she's like, I have a project for you. So she threw me right in, and it's been that way ever since, just kind of project after project.
So, oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And you had talked about being on the East Coast, and then going down south. Were there any specific events or people that you ran into or any sort of influences that you can share that really kind of brought you back ready to join up with Susan when you came back?
Yeah, well, I went to the East Coast to go to MICA, which is the Maryland Institute College of Art. And I studied painting there. Which was great, you know, but I felt like after college, I was a little bit lost as to where I fit in the art world. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be a, you know, fine artist. I was just like, what am I going to do with this degree? So I, on a whim, just decided to move to Philly because it always attracted me. And there was tons of murals there and it was cheap to live. I think my, you know, I rented a room for about $250 and
wow.
It was, yeah, waiting tables. And then while I was waiting tables, I met an artist. His name is Keir Johnson. Mm-hmm. And he was working for the Philadelphia Mural Arts Program. And he was like, hey, like, come, you know, paint with us. And so he brought me in on a couple projects. And I was like, all right, you know, it was great, like painting in the summer in Philly and learning a whole different way of painting because they use parachute cloth out there. They do a lot of projecting, a lot of photorealism. So I learned a lot there. But, you know, I was young and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I moved around a lot. Like that was kind of my goal was to travel as much as I could and see as much of the world as I could. Mm-hmm. So then I went to New Orleans and I joined AmeriCorps and like gutted houses for a while there after Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I actually didn't paint for a really long time after that.
What about that experience in New Orleans? Because I remember that time, that was a time where a lot of the artistry was vacated from that city based on that disaster. So was there any sort of memory that you have about that aspect of the devastation?
The artists?
The artists.
Yeah, you know, I still felt like even though a lot of people were gone, mm-hmm. that city just had, like, the art and music is just such a big part and so ingrained in that city that I still felt like it was magical. Yeah. And like I wanted to stay there, but there was no work and there was no place. Like even renting an apartment was super expensive there.
Oh wow!
So, you know, when I got burnt out from AmeriCorps, I moved back to Philly. And but yeah, that you know, it lasted with me a long time. I just thought of all the things that people lost. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do some art pieces from that, like collecting broken tile and plates and little objects that I had collected, but I ended up moving around and couldn't take it with me. Mm-hmm. But I thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, just like all those memories.
Yeah.
That could be lost in one day. So,
yeah.
But the books are great. Like I love the spirit of the people there and you know, I've been back there since and it's definitely come back and it feels like New Orleans, you know, it still has its soul. I know that there are some changes. People talk about gentrification there and as everywhere.
As everywhere, yeah. It seems to be a topic of conversation in every one of the episodes that I've had, even the non-Ascendance episodes on the podcast. So, And you, when you came back from Philly the second time, did you know that you were coming back for good?
To San Francisco?
San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah, I was ready. Good. I always told myself I would know when I was ready to go home, and I felt it. And it was during the recession. People were like, "You're crazy to go back now," but I was like, "I'll figure it out. I need to go home." But yeah, I you know, right when I came back, I found work really quickly with Procida Eyes muralists, and that kind of helped me find my path to, you know, becoming a muralist and getting back into painting, really, like finding my place and what I loved about painting.
That's a tough thing too, when you give up something for a little while and then having to jump back into it. Mm-hmm. Now
I
you
pretty much like unlearn what I learned in school.
as many of us do, right? Colleges sometimes can be creatures of conformity, you know, and sometimes just jumping out into the real world will kind of slap us around a little bit and like get us to the point where we can recalibrate to be our own people, own artists, right? In your case, you came back and you came back to Procida Eyes, like you had said, and learned under master muralist Susan Cervantes. So walk us through what it is like to be able to work with someone like her and learn under her.
I'm definitely lucky and blessed to have her as a mentor, and and really good friend. You know, she's somebody that I trust, and she's been, you know, painting for over 50 years, you know, doing so many large scale murals that you can't even count how many. But I just learned to listen to my voice through her, you know, just trust it. Mm-hmm. And you'll know what you need to create, just trusting yourself, which takes a while to be confident as an artist and to trust in your skills. And also, like, working with community is very challenging, but each project you learn something different and you're able to, you know, bring it on to the next project. And yeah.
Trusting yourself, that's an interesting concept too, because so much, I think, as an artist, sometimes comes from our own doubt or maybe our own insecurity about our own skills. Desi had brought up the fact that he's so lucky that Twin Walls is involved, because what you guys bring to the table is just a whole different approach to walls. And so let's get into Twin Walls, the company, first, and how it started, and then what's the beginnings of Twin Walls, and what is the current state of it going into Ascendance?
So Marina and I went to high school together. We've known each other since we were 14. And we, you know, she stayed in Oakland and went to CCAC when I went to the East Coast, but we always stayed friends. And she started working with Precida Eyes a bit after, around, I think, in college or after college. And I had always kept in touch with them, of course, but she also learned with Susan, and I mean, Susan's pretty much taught us everything, from, you know, theme development, to storytelling, which is a big part of muralism, and listening. A lot of times it's just letting people tell you what they want to see, and you have to, like, help put that story together. And then it comes to, you know, grading the wall, prepping the wall, transferring. It's all just old techniques that have been around for a long time, that you know, work. They all
tried and true techniques.
But then, you know, so Marina and I, we started, Susan brought us together on a project, working at St. Francis Hospital in San Francisco. And it's not our favorite mural. We don't really like that mural. But what we learned from that mural was that we worked really well together. We had a lot of fun working together, and we work, it's hard to find people that you work well with, because a lot of artists, you know, there's ego, right? And people butt heads, but with murals, you have to collaborate. It's a team effort. If you want to do it yourself, it's going to take you a long time.
I can imagine.
And so that has been our strength, is that we know each other's strengths, and we let each other take that part. If she wants to paint something, I'm like, yeah, go for it. Like, or she'll be like, Elaine, you should paint that. Like, you'll do it better than me, and vice versa. And a lot of times I don't want to paint something, and she's like, yeah, I totally want to paint that. So yeah. And then the way we design is very intuitive. Like, we feed off of each other's ideas and kind of just vibe. And then all of a sudden we're like, yes, yes, yes. We get really excited. And a lot of our ideas are very similar. And, you know, we've worked together for so long now, I think we just know what we want to paint and what we want to say. And we've just, you know, come up with a collaborative voice together. And so we formed Twin Walls in 2013, two good friends of ours, Joe and Jordan, who own a doggy daycare, Mr. Muggles, in San Francisco, they were like, why don't you guys just start a company? And we were like, oh yeah, we can do that. Okay, let's do it. You know, it was very scary for both of us because we're not used to doing something on our own like that. And but I think it's made us more confident to have a collaborative together. And the last 3 years, well, okay, so Marina went to New York, but then she came back for this project that we got. And after that, it was like, she couldn't go back to New York because we just had so much work. And she was like, I think I gotta stay. and so the last 3 years have been pretty busy nonstop. Like at one point we had about, 1 year we had around 16 projects. Oh. Some were small, but some were big. So we were just working all the time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how was that? Because you guys were both with Procida Eyes. And then
She was with OSA and I was at Procida Eyes. She was teaching at OSA. So she would teach in the morning and then we'd work at night. Mm-hmm. Pretty much what it was. So we didn't sleep. We were really tired. But I think it's paid off because now we have the portfolio to show people what we can do and the range that we can do. So we're thankful that we survived that year and have something to show now.
Kind of primarily San Francisco based, or have you expanded beyond San Francisco to other projects or other?
Everything's in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I just moved out to Oakland in March. Marina's been out here, but all our work has been in San Francisco. So we're you know, super excited to work in Oakland, and there's so many walls.
there are infinite possibilities. One thing you had just brought up, which I love about the group that I've been interviewing so far, is you brought up the how important listening is for an artist as well. And this is something that Spencer had talked about last week. How important is it to listen to, or whatever the subject matter, or if there's certain people involved in the subject matter of the mural, how important is it to listen to those voices? And then you even brought up listening when you were speaking about Susan, and one of her techniques for you guys was to listen to your own voice. Mm-hmm. How important is that for an artist, just to be able to sit and listen?
Oh, very important. I feel like I like working on community projects because you learn more about the community that you're working with by just listening. And you have to listen because they're, you know, looking to you to tell their story. That's why, you know, they want a mural and they don't know how to create it. So they're seeking your help. But one thing about listening is that you get inspired by those stories and the people that they want portrayed in those stories, or, you know, any, all the subject matter that they're that community is about. So I find that I learn so much more about with each project that I've done in San Francisco, I've learned more about the history, that stuff that I didn't even know about in the city that I grew up in. So that's always really, really my favorite part of the process, the mural process. But yeah, listening to the community, but also listening to yourself and listening to the other artists that you're working with is really important. Because I think as a collective, it just makes the mural even better. Right. Because you have so many voices bringing in their different ideas, makes it stronger. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now we have you guys joining the team with CRP on the Ascendance mural. And Spencer last week walked us through a lot of the history that led to the development and cultivation of that mural itself. Mm-hmm. You guys are a huge part of the artist team involved in designing that mural with Desi. So maybe give us a glimpse into the design room of the Ascendance mural. What you were drawn to, what's been a large part of the process that you've been dealing with individually.
Mm-hmm. Before we even met Desi, I had seen his work and was blown away, you know, by universal language and just how it was all painted in spray paint. Like, you know, I don't spray paint at all. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool to see such a vibrant, energetic mural. Mm-hmm. And I don't see too many like that. And so we knew of Desi before we even met him. And he was referred to us by Dave Kim, who will be joining soon. And he, you know, contacted Marina and I about the project, and we were like very intrigued because this is the biggest wall we've ever worked on from start to finish. And because, you know, we've done some restorations, but, you know, on older murals that were pretty tall. So this was exciting. Like, it was all new territory for us. But not being from Oakland, and just moving here, it was really exciting to learn about some of the, you know, the stories of the performing artists in Oakland. And Desi just knows everybody. He's like, oh, you know, that's Zach, that's Terry. And, yeah. You know, I'm like, I don't know who that is, but you know, I'm curious to learn these stories and just the people and the voices of Oakland. Mm-hmm. So that excites me a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so many, it's so deep and rich, the history of artistry in Oakland, and Ascendance is attempting to bring a lot of those people together and just kind of honor them in the city that they developed as an artist city. If we were to go down to Ascendance right now, what would we see? What have you been working on? I know you said you had the day off today, but what is it that you most recently did for the Ascendance mural?
So we've been, Desi's been working on a swing stage to get a lot of the big areas painted. Mm-hmm. He has this really cool spray gun and he's able to cover large areas with it. Nice. And, you know, we've never done anything like that. So that's really cool. But so we've been working on, Marina, me and Priya have been working on the bottom left part of the mural to try to get that as completed as possible so we can move on to the bigger wall. Mm-hmm. And so right now we have Jane Kim, she's painted on there, Karina, and there's like two Black Panthers that you can see.
Oh, nice.
on the far left, and you can see the train coming through, and the ribbon is forming. Mm-hmm. I finished Theo, who's on the bottom right. He's like one of the drummers, really cool. Yeah, so it's starting to come to life. Like, I see more and more people stopping and checking it out because they're, you know, they're walking by and they're like, whoa, wait, what is this? So it's very exciting to see the momentum growing and just to have the color forming, you know, getting filled in, like that's really exciting for all of us.
Yeah, and it's coming to life in a very unique time. Yes. In all of our lives, right?
Yeah.
What is it, what makes it unique painting in the pandemic time, and then also the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement, mm-hmm. and all of the advocacy and activism that's going on right now? How is it different painting under all of those umbrellas, so to speak?
Well, you know, I didn't even, we weren't even sure what was going to happen to the project when at the start of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, the first 2 months I was just at home, and mm-hmm. I was painting a little bit here, but yeah, we didn't know what was going to happen with any of our projects. And Desi was like, no, we can do it. So we were all excited at that, you know, after 2 months to be able to like be out there and be in our element again. It was good to be around the other artists and be outside.
Yes.
You know, it was nerve-wracking at first, but you know, you kind of, you get used to wearing the mask and mm-hmm. trying to paint 6 feet apart. But you know, we're in the heart of downtown Oakland.
Yeah.
And the energy there has been energizing, I think, for us too, especially a month ago with the protests and just the gatherings and just the beauty of the movement. Downtown Oakland is an outdoor gallery right now with so many beautiful messages of,
right.
you know, support for the movement, Black Lives Matter movement, and solidarity, and just like that's historic. And so I feel really thankful to be a part of that and to see that happening right now in Oakland. It's sad, the circumstances, but I feel like change is coming, and there's enough energy to make that happen.
A lot of people would say that, you know, it's the artists who do a lot of the translation of these times, and you guys are, in your own way, in the Ascendance team, are interpreting the history of Black, African-American, Asian-American people who have been huge influences in the artist community and continue to be by being honored through the Ascendance mural. Now, moving over to the artist side, you personally, is there anything outside of Ascendance that you're working on right now that you'd like to talk about?
Marina and I, before we started Ascendance, we worked on a Paint the Void project, mm-hmm. In San Francisco. You know, we had wanted to just get kind of start getting back out there. Yeah. And with COVID, we were really, really affected by the different communities that are not, maybe the media is not talking about as much. And one of the communities was the Navajo, and how their community has really been affected by COVID. Mm-hmm. And I feel like not enough people talk about it. Mm-hmm. So we decided to do our project theme around the Navajo. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our murals are, Marina and I always talk about manifesting what we want to happen through painting. So we try to manifest hope and healing, positivity through symbols. So we chose a buffalo. And the mural was on Buffalo Exchange on Valencia Street. So that seemed fitting. So we painted this like beautiful, landscape with buffalo from Golden Gate Park. But it was kind of our prayer to the Navajo Nation. We had looked at Navajo healing painting, sand paintings, and they have this ceremony where if somebody is sick, they'll sit them in the middle of this beautiful sand painting and then do prayer, and then it's kind of washed away. So it's kind of the impermanence too of the art, and that was the same with this. We painted this project on boards, so we took them down because they were going to open back up, but hopefully we'll find a home for it again. And Marina and I have some projects, a big project brewing that we're thinking about, but we can't talk about it yet.
Well, I'll definitely have to have you back on to talk about it once you guys have information for public consumption. I also like to do a segment kind of for art students where the artist can talk about process or technique, maybe something unique that you do that you just can't do without in terms of the process, whether it's from the design and conception of it or all the way through the technique of actually carrying out the piece. Mm-hmm. What is something that you feel like is essential for young artists?
Oh boy. Well, definitely, learn how to grid. Gridding is really important for, painting large. If we're starting from a small drawing and enlarging it. I feel like it's such a important skill to have. Especially for this project, gridding that 90-foot wall was pretty challenging.
Can't imagine.
But sometimes we try to project, but there are areas where you just can't project, and you have to find a way to transfer from a small scale to the actual wall. But think about when you're doing a mural, what story you want to tell. That's pretty much where it comes down to. And from there, from the themes, then you can come up with the imagery, and then it just flows from there. But always think about what's important to your viewer, to your community, that the story you want to tell.
Oh, that's wonderful though. And that's another thing that many of the artists have been speaking about is story that's being told, and and I know that's not an original thing to CRP, but I imagine Priscita Eyes and your history, just being around the amazing people that you've been around to learn from, as simple as that might sound to people, how difficult is that to tell that story and keep that story in mind from design all the way through the job itself?
It can be challenging, especially when you're working with a lot of different people. And then, Desi definitely experiences that with these projects, because he's putting in a lot of different communities. And everybody has people that they want to see in the mural and memorialize and honored in the mural, but you can't put everybody, right? So you have to find common images and common themes with everybody that they can all agree on. But one thing is to just get to be able to get everybody to agree on, like, hone it in. but be able to, as the artist, see that, right? So, like, okay, we want to go this route. So what imagery sticks out to you? And what, and a lot of times there is points and specific themes that really start popping out that become the highlight of the, you know, theme development meetings. So yeah, it can be challenging, but it's a good challenge and it always works out.
Thank you very much for joining us today. And I can't wait to get out there and see your guys' work firsthand.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you're going to be blown away.
I can't wait for that.
Special thanks to Elaine Chu, co-founder of Twin Walls Mural Company, for joining us today on Artivism Now. You can catch their work at twinwallsmuralcompany.com. And next week we'll be joined by Marina Perez Wong, other co-founder of Twin Walls Mural Company and artist on Ascendance. And as usual, artists out there, let it flow, let it mean something. And goodbye.